You know that familiar music. Yes, Bad Authority lead us again to KCIM Sports Rewind on this Tuesday morning. Jeff Blankman, along with Mason Nealon, with you here today as we get set to talk about what's going on in the area in sports. Mason, how are you this morning?
It's been a while since you've actually hosted.
It is, yeah. KC's off doing some grocery shopping. So, yeah, part of a competition right now that the radio station's involved in. We're raising money. I think it's for New Way, if I remember correctly. I did it last year. It was an awful lot of fun and had a blast. But he's over there right now with a couple of our sales ladies, and they're, you have a certain amount of time to grab a certain amount of groceries, but it has to be as close to a dollar amount that they give you. So it's always good to take somebody that does math well, so you can compute, you know, the cost of the things that you're grabbing. And it's certain things that you're grabbing that are okay to grab. It was fun a year ago. I don't remember. Do you remember who they said was going over with KC this morning?
Well, I know Rainey and Tiffany were there.
Rainey and Tiff?
But
okay.
I don't know
if they were a part of the team.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good thing KC can do math, right?
If you send me over there, it's over.
I noticed you didn't want to take a shot at your boss, Rainey or Tiffany, with that, huh?
I'm not even getting to that one. But I don't think you could send me over there and we would have a successful trip because I don't
you
know.
You could grab groceries, right?
Yeah, but somebody else got to stand by the cart and be like, all right, this was this month.
Last year we did it where it was Chloe, me, and Sam. And I pushed the cart and did the math in my head, and they just ran around and grabbed, you know. I tried to follow as close as I could so they didn't have to run back to me, but I did the cart and the math, and they did the grocery shopping. So a lot of times diapers is a big thing, baby formula, those types of things.
And get expensive.
Yes, absolutely, and that's why you're trying to help people that need a little bit of help and maybe can't afford those things that are extremely expensive, kind of like almost everything is nowadays. Yes.
Yeah, when I go get gas, and a couple months ago it was like $30, now it's like $50. I'm like, makes me want to walk everywhere.
Yes, well, it gets us both in better shape if we start walking everywhere, right? Going to be a long walk down to Glenwood on Thursday, though.
I know. I'll start leaving here probably after Rewind, but I'll see you down there.
Spring season, hard to believe. Starting to wind down a little bit. We'll get to that and some of the details with the postseason coming up. But before we talk other things going on right now in the world of sports, kind of your second, spring season here with the CB Sports Network. What's been different this year for you, do you think, than last year?
It's just kind of smoother. You go through and you're like, I know that coach. I know this area. I know these kids. And you walk into a facility and it's not like, where am I supposed to go? Who am I supposed to talk to? It's like, I know where I'm going here. And then it just makes it a little bit easier probably on you to schedule because you're like, I don't have to send him where I'm going to figure out, you know, what he does and what he doesn't know. But, you know, it just everything kind of comes back to you. You know, you get to this time of the year, and I'm like, I did this last year at Ogden for state qualifying track. Now it's going to be at Glenwood, and it's the same thing. And you get kind of that feeling of next week's, again, kind of go time for us, and it's our big event for the culmination of track, and we get to the postseason of all this stuff. But, you know, I didn't think baseball and softball would sneak up on me as fast as it did.
Monday.
I was going to say, last year I didn't have a game before state track, I don't think. So I was like, you know, I'm not too worried about it. But then now I look and I'm like, next Tuesday we're back into broadcasting 7 innings of baseball.
Yeah, we have baseball broadcast on Monday and Tuesday for sure next week. I think I got Casey going out either Wednesday,
I think it's Wednesday,
or Thursday. It starts. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if I'm ready for it because we've been so intent on everything going on this spring. We have 46 teams that compete between the 11 schools between soccer, track, tennis, and golf. And as you know, I try to keep a pretty complete list of where we've been. The lucky thing is we've at least seen every single team twice this year. Some we've seen a little bit more than that. Some of the sports like soccer, when they host, 12 home games a year, it's easier to get to them, a couple of times. Golf teams sometimes only golf in the area really two, maybe three times the entire season and only have a couple of home meets. So sometimes it's a little more difficult to get to them as much. But have you learned anything different this year with any of the teams while you're running around covering different things?
Not really. I mean, we learned the aspect of how to broadcast soccer and how to do all that. So that was an experience, I'd say. But Outside of that, honestly, there wasn't really anything different. I mean, the weather was kind of one that was different, and you had to learn how to. I kind of had to learn how to adapt to looking outside, looking at the radar, and saying, you know, we're probably not going to get anything tonight. And that was probably, what, 2-3 weeks of the season just almost wiped out except for soccer. So that was different than last year. But otherwise, it was kind of just, you know, it was just everything came back to you at the start of the year.
You think about the fact that outdoor track meet started, what, middle to late March with the Carroll early bird this year. Last night, you and I went up to Sac City. You were working on the camera that I've got to, you know, to be able to do video highlights, and we had some little tweaks that we needed to make in it, and I was doing some video interviews, so we were both up there covering the track meet. Last night was the first time I wore shorts all spring to an outdoor event. I think it was probably, what, the second or third nice night we've had for a track meet all year long. So not just us, but the poor kids and coaches and parents and grandparents that are at those things. It's been kind of a wild winter or wild weather spring season so far.
Yeah, because, I mean, I went up to Lake City and I don't remember what it was. It was the same night you went to Audubon early in the year, and we both were like, all right, this isn't too bad. We're going to get into kind of the better weather now, and then it was terrible. And then we went up to Lake City last week, and it was like, this is pretty comfortable. We can walk around and have a good time, and then you go up to Sac, and it's like, all right, if we got two track meets in a row that we went to that are good, we should be good until about next week.
Yeah, well, hopefully Thursday, which is the state qualifying. We'll get into that a little bit later in the show. But sounds like the weather's supposed to be pretty good for this week and then for Thursday. And then as I peeked at the 10-day, and I'll do it again here, anybody watching the video broadcast on the YouTube right now, we'll be able to tell that that's what I'm doing. But I think it's supposed to be pretty good. So let me look here. Some rain on Thursday. So the first day of the state track meet, of course, there's the potential for some rain. But you and I talked yesterday at the track meet last night, and I think we were talking to the starter. And every single year at state track, you get one day where it's scorching hot at least. You get one day where, if it doesn't stay cool the whole day, at least starts the day where you're in a hoodie and long pants because it's kind of chilly in the morning. And then you always have that one day where it might only sprinkle for 10 minutes or it's going to downpour, but you get some kind of moisture, it seems like, every single year down at the state track for one day.
Yeah, I kind of told the story to you yesterday, last year, is that, you know, I walked in the first day and it was cold until about 1, and then it was like, all right, it's somewhat not cold. The second day, I got burnt because it was hot. And then the third day, as we were finishing up, I think it was either a 4x1 group or it was the event before the 4x1, it started to rain. And so I was underneath of a towel holding the camera. And the only thing popping out was the lens. And I'm like, it's 3 days, and it's one small area of Des Moines.
Right.
But it seems like that small area can never have the same weather for 3 days.
No. And hopefully we don't get that where it's like rainy all 3 days sometimes. I've had it before occasionally where you might get 3 days where it's 80-something and sunny every single day down there, which is okay, because I've come back. John Ryan used to tease me all the time that I would just come back scorched. I'd be peeling already, you know, by the time I would come in to work that next Monday. So don't miss those days. I think I've gotten a little smarter with it comes to putting protective stuff on. But we're going to switch over. We'll come back to talking high school sports and what's going on here lately with all of our area kids and schools. We'll do that a little bit later on in the show. We did not line up a guest for today, because the postseason getting started, and we kind of wanted to really delve into a lot of the local stuff. But we're going to let Mason talk about the NBA playoffs and is LeBron James retiring. It took a whooping and got swept, but is he retiring? Is Mason's favorite NBA guy done yet? What, 42, 43 years old?
42.
Okay. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the CB Sports Network Rewind Show.
St. Anthony's Regional Hospital invites cancer survivors and their caregivers to a special National Cancer Survivor Day celebration, an evening of strength, healing, and community on Monday, June 8th at beautiful Swan Lake Conservation Education Center. From 3 to 5 p.m., enjoy a guided approximately 1 mile walk led by Epic Experience of Colorado, created for survivors of all abilities, with rest stops and support along the way. Then gather for a free catered dinner from Napoli's Italian restaurant, survivor goodie bags, door prizes, a group photo, and fun memories at the photo booth. The evening ends with meaningful campfire stories, s'mores, and the powerful Bell of Victory ceremony. Space is limited, and all participants must register by May 22nd. You can even bring a guest. This event is about more than an evening together. It's about honoring your journey, celebrating resilience, and reminding every survivor that you are not alone. Visit St. Anthony's Regional Hospital website to register today. St. Anthony's Regional Hospital. Always look to the cross, always St. Anthony.
You'd rather be here. What do we mean by that? Well, at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel, it can be anything you want. If you love to win, we've got your game. Watch those points and rewards really add up when you play with your club wild card. The casino floor isn't the only place you'll get lucky. Great nights at Wild Rose start at Lucky Sports Bar and Grill. Stay, play, and win big at Wild Rose Casino and Hotel. Come see why when we say you'd rather be here. We mean it.
Back here on the CB Sports Network Rewind Show, Jeff Blankman and Mason Nealon with you here today. And Mason, last night, the thing that you were hoping wouldn't happen happened. The Lakers, we kind of knew it going in to that series. You called it that they were probably more than likely going to get swept by Oklahoma City, who's the defending NBA champions. But LeBron James goes down last night, and it sounded like even late in the game or something that maybe he was a little slow to get up a couple of times. He's had a great career. I'm not a LeBron hater by any means. I know there are a lot of people out there that don't like LeBron, and you know, I think he's been an elite player his entire career. You and I go round and round of whether or not he's the GOAT. I don't think he is, but that's part of it probably because we're from different generations and you grew up with him as the kind of the best player in the game, you know, during your lifetime and stuff. But is it time? Do you think he's done? Do you think he comes back? I mean, you're Mr. LeBron James, so you lead the fan club.
I don't know if I lead the fan club, but I'm certainly on the committee there that decides everything LeBron does. So
what's the decision?
I mean, to me, it depends on where his mind is. If you want to write the narrative, if you want to sail off into the sunset, you leave on year 23. It's the jersey number that you and Jordan share. It's iconic. You take off on year 23. You got your year with Bronny. I mean, you have probably hit your ceiling of what you're going to accomplish in your career. At this point, I mean, you add a couple more points, a couple more rebounds, but you're not going to win another MVP. You're not going to win a Defensive Player of the Year. You're not going to win a title. But, I don't think it's done for him because, you know, it's kind of that old niche of some of these guys don't know when it is time because, you know, there's that kind of period of, you know, you don't want to slip into irrelevancy, but you also don't want to give it up because this is the thing you've been doing for how many years of your life. So for LeBron, I don't think he'll ever slip into irrelevancy, but there's some point where you kind of hit that decline.
Right.
And it's starting to look like he's maybe hitting that physically.
Yeah.
So it's like, if he's got another year, so be it. If not, it's like, I mean, 23 years of probably the best player of this generation. I mean, hats off to a great career.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right. He has been a guy that has kept such great care of himself with the workouts that he does and probably the nutrition. And today, pro athletes are really lucky. I know even 30 years ago they had some of that, but now you hire your own trainer, your own nutritionist, and they control everything. And I think that's what helps everybody sustain the longer careers probably for the most part. But just a little spread. I don't think he's one of the top three or four guys in the league anymore, but I think he's probably still top 10 or 15, and then he's still good enough that on those nights he can go out and dominate a game. He just can't do it consistently. Do you think if Luka, the deal with him and the Lakers, if he stays, does that help LeBron come back? I think you mentioned the other day that you felt that those two have done a pretty good job of gelling, even though I think a lot of people wondered when the Lakers traded for Luka. that, you know, here's another guy that really needs the ball in his hand, kind of like LeBron does. To, for them to be at their most effective, they have to have the ball in their hand. So kind of hard to do that with two guys that really demand the basketball.
Yeah, and even with that, you also throw in a guy like Austin Reeves who probably wants the ball in his hands as well. But I watched a video on this last night while we were sitting there typing, and, you know, it kind of said something to me, is that if LeBron wants the LeBron contract, the $50 million 1 year, then it's time for the Lakers to say, we're not willing to give you that. Because Austin Reeves is going to sign a huge contract. Luka is going to sign a huge contract. They're going to need other pieces to come in as well. But if LeBron wants to take a backseat and say, you know what, I'll take a massive pay cut and I'll be the number three guy on this team, just go get us some other guys, then I don't see the problem with it. But, you know, Luka's got to be the number one guy.
Right.
Luka's got to stay healthy. Reeves has got to stay healthy, and he's got to be the number two. LeBron's almost got to turn into a semi-point guard or a semi-shooter.
Can he do that, though, with Luka? Because Luka plays that position and wants the ball.
I think so, because what they did is, and I saw this on that video as well, is that you use LeBron as a decoy. You put him in the short corner, you put him in the post, and you give him the ball. Because players gravitate towards LeBron when he has the ball on defense. If you can get him as a decoy and people stand near him, that opens up other guys, whether that is Luka or Reeves, or you find a guy like Rui Hachimura, DeAndre Ayton, Jared Vanderbilt, whoever it be. I mean, you gotta use him in a way that he's not having to turn back the clock and be 2012 LeBron. He's got to be 2027 LeBron.
So the question I got next for you here, you mentioned that, you know, does LeBron want one of those LeBron-type contracts, the one-year $50 million? I don't think he needs that money. Not that anybody's ever going to turn it down, but he makes probably more on endorsements and the businesses that he owns and everything. So I don't know if do you feel like the money matters to him with all of the money that he makes off of the court? Not that if he could get that he would turn it down, but is that important to him with the contract for playing, do you think?
Honestly, I don't know, because at the end of the day, I mean, I always say this with stuff too, we're all human.
Right.
If you look at a contract in front of you and it says 1 year, $50 million.
It's going to be hard to say no.
You're not going to look at it and say, I'm going to take less money.
Right.
But at the same time, we never know what goes on behind those closed doors.
Right.
You just see the end deal of it. So, you know, I don't know. If he wants $50 million, he'll get $50 million somewhere because of LeBron James, because he brings people to the town, helps businesses, all that type of stuff by being LeBron James. But if he wants to be in L.A., he shouldn't have $50 million.
Would Cleveland sign him for $50 million for a year, give him one more year in his hometown, or would he be worth that?
No. Cleveland's got a good mix right now, and Donovan Mitchell, James Harden, Evan Mobley, those are the guys that are going to need money. And for 1 year of LeBron to try and blow all that up, I don't think it's worth it. I mean, you could get him for 20. You can get him for 15. 25 is maybe the max, but you don't blow the bank account up and blow up the team for 1 year of LeBron.
So Detroit had the best record in the Eastern Conference this year and almost lost, had to rally back 3-1 to Orlando. Now Cleveland's got them tied too. Do the Cavs get through, and can anybody stop the Knicks in the East?
I haven't watched the Knicks yet this year, so, you know, but what they did to Philly and the numbers they put up on Philly, I'm like, if I'm a
shooting it really well.
If I'm a Detroit fan, I'm like, you know, we're probably out. Cleveland's probably the best chance, and I'm not saying that because I'm a Cavs fan, but Harden, Mitchell should be able to play some pretty good styles against Brunson and
can
those
they defend?
Guys. Depends on the day.
Okay.
Harden can somewhat defend some days if he tries, and Mitchell, he's not known as a defender, but he's athletic enough to be able to be a defender. But I honestly, in the West, it's going to be a dogfight.
It is.
It's going to be San Antonio, and it's going to be...
I don't count Minnesota out yet. San Antonio is pretty special with all the young guys that they have. If anybody, I know there's not a ton of NBA. Some people are probably right now going, quit talking about the NBA. If San Antonio is really young, got a lot of 20, 21-year-old guys, and Wimby's probably one of those special type of that only come around now and then. If you want to give a team a chance to maybe watch that could be fun for the next decade if they can keep it all together. San Antonio could be that place. And we'll see. You know, it's not Greg Popovich and, you know, coaching anymore. But, you know, those Tim Duncan years with Manu Ginobili and Tony Parker, and even when the Admiral David Robinson, those were really good teams to watch. And they did things the right way. And I have a feeling that he's put together kind of the similar style of athlete down there in San Antonio, so they should be a lot of fun.
And everyone talks about the come up of OKC, you know, oh my gosh, their GM's so good, he got all these yep. players. San Antonio has gone from George Gervin to David Robinson to Tim Duncan to Tony Parker and Manu to Kawhi Leonard to Victor Wembanyama.
Yep.
All within, what, 40, 50 years now?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, you know, props to OKC and Sam Presti for being able to rebuild that and having probably the quickest turnaround I've ever seen from a very good team to an elite team. But San Antonio's front office got to get some props, too, for being able right. to get how many great bigs, how many great point guards, and how many good teams back together. But I tell you what, it's my pick, San Antonio.
Okay.
I think it's going to be San Antonio and New York, and I don't think that because I don't like OKC. But I think that, you know, somebody's got to figure out how to play against OKC. And it's
right.
And if it's anyone, it's the team that beat them the entire year. And that's
yeah,
San Antonio.
San Antonio had a lot of luck against OKC to Jackson Kerrigan's demise. But, you know, they had a lot of success against them in the regular season. By the way, just heard from Jeff Honnold. He is loving the NBA talk and wants us to spend the rest of the next 27 minutes discussing nothing but LeBron James and the NBA.
That does not sound like Jeff Honnold.
Let's just say I can't repeat the words that he said. That he just texted.
Quick note to Honnold, though, and I'm going to sound like you or somebody that has been through times of the NBA. Appreciate it now before it's gone, because guys like LeBron, you're never going to see him again.
Yep.
They will leave, and I know you can say it about Jordan, because it's the same thing that Jordan did. It's the same thing with
Larry Bird and Will,
Larry,
yep.
Magic, yep. All of them. They're there for a little bit of time, and you hate on them while they're there. But the second they're gone, you're like, man, I miss seeing a guy like that, or I miss yeah. seeing a LeBron or a Jordan. So appreciate it while it's here.
Yeah, you know, I agree. LeBron's certainly not my favorite player. Don't dislike him. I do dislike when people say he wouldn't be able to play in today's, you know, in the games in the 1980s. I get it that he's a little soft, but the game's soft today. If you put a 6'9", 280-pound, 270-pound guy with that kind of athleticism back in 1985, and he was born and raised during that time, he's going to be physical. And at that size, he's going to push around and shove around all the guys you think would have pounded on him back then, because he'd have been used to it, and he wouldn't have grown up in an NBA that has gotten a little bit softer because of the rules. So anybody that tries to tell me LeBron James couldn't play in the 80s, just quit talking. Sorry, they're my friends, but quit, because he is too big, too strong, and too talented not to have been successful in the 80s with his size.
Yeah, and Jeff Honnold would have had a picture of LeBron dunking on Bill Laimbeer in his room back in the
yeah,
day.
Yeah, he would have. Absolutely.
And I
yeah.
know he heard that
no,
one.
No, he probably had Larry Bird hanging up with the fadeaway J. Or the finger up into the air after winning the three-point shooting contest.
Yeah.
Actually, then again, he wrestled. I don't know if he watched the NBA back in the day.
If he watched the NBA, he was a bad boy Pistons guy.
Yeah, he was. And he is. Yeah, he was. Yeah. Was Bill Laimbeer probably was his favorite player, and Isaiah Thomas.
Yeah. Yes. I was going to say, he seems like the type of guy that likes the bad
yeah.
boy Pistons.
Yeah. We'll turn over to another subject now that we know Honnold will really enjoy, the Cubs. Because he's such a Cubs fan as a St. Louis guy. They have been on an absolute tear. I know they had yesterday off, but we'll have more Cubs baseball coming up today. Swept my Reds. They've been on a roll. What was it, 19 of 23 at one time, and playing some really, really good baseball. And fans of Chicago should be pretty excited. You're a White Sox fan. You said you haven't paid a stitch of attention since 2019, but they're what, right in the division race this year, even though they're 19 and 21, because the AL is awful.
Yeah, and great year to be a White Sox fan, because we're 19-21 and could still be very successful. But
could
know,
win the division.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Be under 500 and win the division. I'd sit there and go, what's wrong with this league? But, you know, haven't paid much attention. They traded my favorite player back in the day, and I'm still not happy about it. So, and I think Cade Nissen would back me up on that one.
Yep.
He's posted about it plenty of times. But, you know, it's fun. I'm being a White Sox guy, you don't like the Cubs. But it's fun when the Cubs are good. It's
yep.
fun when the White Sox are good, the Cardinals, the teams that are around here that you can kind of
the
be
the Reds?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
The Reds haven't been good for a while, probably. But, you know, it's fun when teams like that are around here are good.
Yep.
Because it's like, you know, it brings a little bit more enjoyment to things like listening to the Cubs on here, watching the White Sox, the Reds, yep. the Cardinals, all of those
the
teams.
The Twins.
Yeah. It's fun to have that around here. So for the Cubs right now to be that hot and be that good, it's like this is fun to listen to and watch.
Yeah, especially considering we play all the Cubs games right here on KCM. Again, you're listening to the CB Sports Network, a rewind show here this morning. Jeff Blankman along with Mason Nealon. I got to bring it up, and I'll let you talk about it, and I'm not even going to say anything. I was surprised yesterday that KC brought it up, and I would have brought it up to him if he was here. But college baseball, it was a good weekend for me, and I'll leave it at that. I don't know if you have any comments.
I don't watch enough Iowa baseball. I'm an Iowa guy, but... Yep. I've never been a guy to go watch baseball, and I know that's probably a shocker because, oh, sports guy, but baseball's just never been my thing.
Right.
So I'm like, you know, I haven't watched it, but I get the notifications on Twitter, and it's number 25, you-know-who, beat Iowa. And it's like, well, I'm not surprised because, you know, Iowa baseball not one of the elite programs right now.
Right.
I wouldn't consider Nebraska elite, but they're probably in that pretty good category if you're,
yep.
you know, but you said that there were some pretty fun games. You and,
yeah.
I can't remember who it was. Was it Todd last night that you guys were talking about the Nebraska-Iowa game on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah, Todd Bontrager and I talked about it. Yeah, the Friday game was really exciting. Actually, the Friday game we won 10-0, I think, in 7 or 8 innings. Saturday was pretty explosive offensively, and you know, we ended up, you know, Nebraska, I shouldn't say we, Nebraska ended up pulling that one out, and then Sunday they were able to get the win again to get the brooms out or whatever. I just will say, Matt Wilkin, it's kind of surprising that I don't get any text messages from you or Corey Jeske when the other team is the one that's, you know, winning. I certainly hear from those guys when the Hawkeyes win, but they go really quiet at certain times of the year. So yeah. Really, really quiet.
Yeah, and I think we all know where your allegiance falls. I don't think anything is surprising to us anymore about where your allegiance falls, you know.
And I don't ever text anybody or get this. This is probably the most of me giving anybody a hard time about things. And it's only because, you know, Matt is really good. And I love Matt Wilkin, but he is really good at making sure that I know when the Hawks win. You know, and so it's just odd that for some reason there are certain times of the year I don't hear from him.
Well, I think you hear from him in the fall, the winter.
Only certain times in the winter.
Only about the Sweet 16 time of the winter.
Yes.
other than that, I don't know. Is baseball considered a summer sport in college?
No, it's a spring sport.
Okay, because I'm like, what do you consider a summer sport in college?
Yeah, it's a spring sport, so, yeah.
Because I don't think there is. Is there a summer sport
there
in college?
There is not a summer sport in college because everything has to be played during the actual school year.
Yeah.
So, besides, of course, the NCAA tournament, bait College World Series will be wrapping up. But, yeah, Nebraska, number one seed in softball as well. So had a good year in the spring sports season. I will say that.
I will give you credit. Their sports are starting to. They were here for a while. They're starting to come up.
They're figuring out getting into the Big Ten and everything. It's you look at most teams that switch conferences. Not very many of them jump right in and have sustained success. Some might win right away, and then they kind of have to, because you have to rebuild your recruiting base and everything else, and it's a different area. So, but we need to step away, take a break. We will talk high school sports, and we'll focus on that coming up right after this on the CB Sports Network Rewind Show.
This is Von Kettleson. We all know farmers are hardworking. Their dedication to putting food on our tables deserves to be recognized. We want to honor an area farmer and hook them up with a sit-down dinner with me at 1730 Tap House. It's all part of Vittles with Vaughn. Head to our website, carolbroadcasting.com, and nominate your favorite hardworking farmer to win today. Vittles with Vaughn brought to you by 1730 Tap House, Jacobs & Seed, Landis & Ralston, Heritage Insurance, Guthrie County Quality Meats, Whiffles Hybrids, Dave Schletka, Drago SCI, Kenobi Spraying, Christensen Ag of Ralston, MJM Vegetation, and Sac County ISU Extension and Outreach. Vittles with Vaughn, brought to you by these fine sponsors. You can nominate your favorite hardworking farmer today by going to our website, carolbroadcasting.com. That's carolbroadcasting.com. Vittles with Vaughn.
Baseball is more than a sport. It's about the people you're with and the memories you make. And every summer, that tradition continues with the Iowa Cubs. Bring your family, bring your friends, and settle in for a night of baseball in downtown Des Moines. From the first pitch to the last out, there's something special about being together. Come watch future stars chase their dreams and be part of a tradition that never gets old. Explore ticket options at iowacubs.com.
Now, you never know when you're going to see somebody famous walking through Carroll Broadcasting as you're listening here to the CB Sports Network Rewind Show. Jeff Blackman and Mason Nealon, Gus Collison just walking through the building here a moment ago, right?
Is he the most famous Collison?
Probably. Certainly more famous than his dad, maybe not than mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I'm so happy Pete takes a hard time for me. He deals with it pretty well. So
yeah.
He does. He's a good guy. But let's talk high school sports. You and I were at track last night. What has stood out for you about the high school season so far this year, and who are some of the teams or the athletes that have really jumped off the board at you?
First, starting with track, I think for girls it starts with two girls, and I think it starts there for who jumps off the board, and it's Tristan Gordon and it's Wendy Veit. And with Wendy, I mean, it seems like almost every night, school record, meet record, four-time champion, three-time champion, whatever you want to name, she's probably accomplished it this season. And what a jump forward she's taken. Last year, it was really just, you know, Wendy's good in the 400 hurdles. She's all right and everything else right now, but she's just a freshman.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, as just a freshman, you expect that. And then she jumps as a sophomore, and she's probably one of the elite runners in our area right now. And I go, I'd say that's a huge jump. And then for Tristan, I mean, for the discus right now, she's in the top three or four in the state of Iowa.
And a 149 last night. Yeah. So, yeah.
And that's, she was around the 130 for a long time. I'm like, 130 is a long distance because a lot of the girls in our area are 112, 115. And then I heard on the loudspeaker, 149. I go,
yeah, I think 139 something had been her best so far this year until the 149 last night. So, she's gearing up with state qualifying on Thursday, and then the state tournament. We've talked all year that she's got a chance to win that. I will throw out another name, maybe a little bit of a slow start. Part of that could have been maybe not a lot of meets, but Malia Clayburton from Coon has been on an absolute tear in track here in the last couple of weeks as well.
Yeah, and she's, again, one of those girls that's just breaking school records, and it might only be the one event, but she sets the school record and then breaks it again and then breaks it again, and it's like, it's your school record. I don't think anyone's going to touch it if you keep breaking it. So, but, you know, it's fun to see that. You know, we like the underclassmen getting some acknowledgement, but some of those seniors as well, that this is their yep. last time around, you like to see that they're still out there competing, still out there wanting to get better. But, you know, soccer-wise, too, because we moved from track to, you know, soccer, tennis, all that stuff, too. Soccer, it's the team down south right now. They are hot, and they are looking like a team to be dangerous in the playoffs. Kemper, I get to see them tonight again, but it seems like every night, you know, a couple of goals from Riley Massey, a couple yep. from Kaylee Houseman, Houseman, a couple from Sierra Pudence, and then it seems like they always get three or four more girls that score that it's like, you know, those aren't your three focus, but they still get to score on that. And it starts with the defense, because last night, Addie Antover didn't even have to touch the ball before Millie came in
right.
the second half and kind of took over for her. So props to them, and props to what Ken Massey's been building over there. And, you know, it's been a fun time to watch them play.
Yeah, the Kemper boys suffering an injury. Don't want to say who, but huge loss to the team. And we wish him as quick a recovery as possible with what he's dealing with. And it's been tough for them. They're having to try and regather themselves here late in the season, which is not always easy to do. I think just a week left in the regular season for soccer before pairings were supposed to come out yesterday. I hadn't seen them yet. I don't know if they came out last night or not, but maybe they'll show up yet today. You know, and then the Carroll boys, I look at them and I'm like, you know, this is a team we've talked all year. They've got a chance to make some noise, but consistency, I think, has probably been the biggest thing for them so far this year, is trying to find that consistency.
Yeah, I think they found their ceiling. I think they know what their ceiling is, but I don't think they know what their floor is yet.
Right.
And I think it's more important to establish going into the postseason what your floor is rather than your ceiling, because I think that their ceiling is we can compete with the ADMs, the Gilberts, the North Polks, but their floor is we also sometimes have to compete with the teams that are under 500. And, you know, you don't want to go into the postseason against a team you've never seen before that's under 500 if you're a 2-seed, a 3-seed, or whatever, and almost have to fight from your back. It's a weird feeling to look at that and go, you know, you can almost, you can tie with the ADMs and lose 2-0 to the number one team in your conference and in the state of Iowa, but then you also get very close and you lose to a team like Kemper that, no shade to Kemper, but I think a lot of people thought this is Carroll's year to go and win it. And so you would go out there and you lose to Kemper. It's like, you know, you got to find that happy medium of we can compete with the best of the teams, but we can also win comfortably against some of the teams that we need to beat.
Yeah, and I want to bounce back to track here real quick. The injuries that our area is dealing with right now, it's just really sad for the kids. Some of our best track kids this year are either done for the year or struggling through some kind of a really bad injury thing where they're trying to get out and do, you know, what they can, but it's just nagging. And, you know, some have been out for a couple of weeks. They're going to try and come back on Thursday and see if they can't get themselves qualified, but it's going to be difficult because they've been out for 3 weeks or, you know, or whatever, and are still recovering. But, you know, we had a really, and it's not that we're still not having a good track year, but we had the potential and started off with some of the most elite guys, you know, in our classes for track athletes. And now all of a sudden we've kind of had some injuries that have derailed some seasons. And you really feel for those kids and stuff that are suffering the injuries. But I think the other thing that it's going to do is, you know, not to throw names out because I don't want to call out anybody with injuries and stuff or, you know, name them. But, you know, you sit here and you're like, you know, they might make it into state in two individuals, but then they're also going to bring two relays with them, you know, and help two other relays qualify. Now those three other kids that would have maybe made it on those relays aren't going to potentially be able to get down to state. So it really impacts a lot of kids when you have an injury and the amount of injuries that we've had this year.
And the bad thing is I could probably name 25 instances or kids that I have either seen go down in a game and had to be out for that game or more, or I've heard go down and are out for the season or out for an extended period of time. And that's not just track. That's
right.
Soccer, probably not golf, but tennis. And then it's like, you know, some of our, like you said, some of our best athletes, not even just in track, but soccer, tennis, golf, have missed extended periods of time or had their season shut down completely because they've been injured. So it's like, you know, what as a coach, what as a parent, whether it's the association, the union, this is something you look at and you go, what can we do? Whether it's just our area has a bad year or everyone's having this type of year, what can you do to maybe prevent or maybe not have this happen as frequent? Because it is sad to see whether they're freshman, sophomore, junior, senior, you know, some of these kids not be able to finish out a year that they looked like they were going to be pretty good.
Yeah, I was going to say, and about 5 to 10 of our probably most elite track athletes have been missing time here the late part of the season. We wish them the best in being able to come back and ready to go Thursday. We'll run through Thursday here real quick just so that everybody kind of knows what is going on. So this is girls and boys, so that way nobody gets kind of confused on it. So in Class 1A are Weaver, Coon Rapids Baird, Exiro Kern Kimbleton, Glidden Ralston, Ikea Manning, Peyton Sherdan, and Audubon. Of course, all going to be down in Audubon at the state qualifying meet. I will be down there covering that one. We've got ESAC and South Central Calhoun going to Sioux Central in Class 2A, and Kemper going to Trainer in Class 2A as well. And then the Carroll Tigers heading to Glenwood in Class 3A. You're heading down to Glenwood to be able to cover that one. All of them start at 4 o'clock. We were down on the field doing video interviews and talking with the coaches and the athletes. We're not going to be – we don't do that at the state qualifying, just so everybody knows. We will have a page pulled up for those two sites, and we'll be updating the website and stuff. So keep refreshing your web page, and it'll be letting you know how everybody's doing as the meet's going on. We'll also be throwing all that information out on Twitter. So if somebody qualifies, we will know it if they're an immediate qualifier, you know, and we will post that to the website and on Twitter right away. So follow our CB Sports Network Twitter account and follow the webpage at sports.1380ksm.com for updates on those two sites. We apologize. We were hoping to be able to get three of them covered, but that's not going to be able to happen now. But we will hype up the recaps and have the audio part of it for all of the sites coming up later that night. So when you get back from Glenwood, when I get back from Audubon, we'll get the results from the other two sites, and we'll get all of those typed up and everything out as quickly as we can. And I'll try to put together a list of everybody that we know is an automatic qualifier. So Class 1A, it's just a district champion. Class 2A and Class 3A, it's the top two kids from every event that are automatic qualifiers. But we'll get that information out to everybody as quickly as we can.
And I'm going to preface this here. I know somebody or someone or a group of people are going to yell at us or make comments about you're covering just one school down at Glenwood. Last year we covered Kemper, South Central, and ESAC over at Ogden. I did at least. And this would have been 2 years in a row we would not have covered Carroll
yep.
at all.
Yep, so I went over to Madrid and covered almost all of the 1A schools a year ago. So this is... Yeah. This, you know, so in the last 2 years of state qualifying, everybody will have been covered at least one time is kind of the way we're looking at it.
Yeah, we don't want to leave out Carroll and just say, well, you're by yourself. We're not going to go cover you. We didn't cover you last year. We'll go down there and do it this year. And it's not like we're not covering those other schools. We will type them up, record all that stuff, and then we will cover all the kids that qualify down at Drake.
So. And we apologize to some of the coaches last night from a site we were going to be going to and now aren't, and they're like, hey, no, we totally get it. You can only, you know, kind of be in so many places at one time. But real quick here, golf, postseason boys golf gets underway on Wednesday, so tomorrow. Class 3A, the Carroll boys are going to be up at Lake Creek teeing off at 10 o'clock in the morning. Class 2A sectionals for boys, Kemper will be at the Holstein Country Club, while ESAC and South Central Calhoun will be at the River Bend Country Club. And then in Class 1A, Audubon, Coon Rapids Baird, Exagerelkern, Kimbledon, and ICAM Manning are at Crestwood Hills, and Glenn Ralston's up at Newell. So that's coming up tomorrow in boys golf. And then Friday, we've got girls golf, Class 2A regionals. Coon Rapids Baird, Glenn Ralston, ICAM Manning over at Dunlap. And in Class 2A, ESAC, Kemper, and South Central Calhoun at Ida Grove. And then Saturday, as our postseason stuff all continues for boys tennis, Audubon and Kemper will be at the singles and doubles tournament being held over at Boone Kemper Boys right now at the Hawkeye 10. We're going to talk shopping. Grocery shopping, yes, on the CB Sports Network YouTube channel. We have got the man who knows how to either do math, push a golf cart, a shopping cart, or grab groceries. He's in the studio with us next when we come back with more of the CB Sports Network Rewind Show.
You smell that? Spring. Hibernation's over. It's time to run it. Run it until the grass becomes long. The hedges duck and cover. Then, run it again. Steel, get up to $50 off select AK battery tool sets. Offer valid for limited time only at participating dealers while supplies last.
Being a mom can be tough, and life may sometimes feel overwhelming. If you're coping by using alcohol or drugs, there's a healthier way forward with help from Your Life Iowa. They'll help you find support tailored to your needs. Addiction is a disease, not a weakness, and it takes courage to ask for help. You've got this. You're tough as a mother. Get free 24/7 confidential support from Your Life Iowa. A message from Iowa HHS.
As the athletes at your house prepare for hard work and fun of the season, remember that St. Anthony Rehab Services provides physical therapy for any sports injury that may sideline your member of the team. Sports injuries can plague kids of all ages and keep them from playing the sport they love. Athletes will be under the direct supervision of a certified and licensed healthcare professional in the newly renovated sports performance facility. If an injury is keeping your athlete out of the game, call St. Anthony Rehabilitation Services at 794-5000 for sports injury and treatment rehab.
We welcome you back here on the CB Sports Network at YouTube channel. Jeff Honnold enjoying the show dramatically today, saying that he wishes that us monkeys were back down to 30 minutes instead of 50. But I think that's just because he doesn't want to hear me talk for 50 minutes. So
I don't know most people that do.
Yeah, I know. I know. And poor Honnold got stuck in a lot of booths with me over the years, or maybe that was the other way around, me stuck in the booth with him for a long, long time.
I feel like if people were walking up at a basketball game and they saw you two there, they'd probably try to go as far away as they could.
Yeah, yeah. We had a lot of people that used to call us Jeff Squared, and I don't think it was because it was two of us, probably because we're both squares. It's probably more like it. But Casey Miner's in the studio with us now. Casey, you were just over at Fairway helping cause.
Yeah, we went over to Hy-Vee for the grocery grab. And
was it Hy-Vee this year?
Yep, it was
okay.
Hy-Vee. Yep.
Okay.
And we got second place by under a dollar.
Reenie did the math, didn't
Reenie
she?
Reenie did the math, yeah. Reenie was pushing the cart and doing the math, and I'm just standing there like...
So what did you do if she had to push the cart and do the math?
Well, sometimes she told me to swap stuff out because there were some deals going on where it was two for a dollar. So I was like, well, we can't really do that. So
it was you. I think I said Tiff earlier, but it was you, Samantha, Sam, yep. and Reenie.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, we got, I think we had it was 238 and some change, and the winner had 239 and some change.
Okay. I'm sure she'll come stare in the window here in a moment when she realizes that I'm talking about the fact that I said it at the beginning of the show. I'd be nervous if Reenie was doing the math, and she was doing the math. So, but it's a great cause, it's a lot of fun, isn't it?
I think in total they had raised over $2,000 worth of food for the local food pantries, and that goes back to all of them in the area.
Right.
So they stay in Carroll County and stuff like that.
Yep.
I think Drago SCI had $400 worth of stuff. I was talking to the guy, and he said that, well, we were starting to do the math on the first cart, then the first cart got full, and then the guy said 30 seconds, so I just started throwing stuff in a cart.
Yeah, and I honestly think that stuff probably gets covered for the cost still goes to a great cause.
Yeah.
So sometimes maybe a few of the competitors, doing that may not be a bad thing because probably extra stuff.
You get a trophy for having for the most money spent, and they spent $400, and I think the next closest person was at 260 something.
Yeah, too bad you couldn't have got a winning trophy because the guy just pointed that he wants to talk almost had a losing trophy this year.
Oh,
so.
Yeah?
Never. <Go. laughs> I want to put out a petition for this. Next year, get us three, not on a Tuesday.
Right.
But get us three to do it. I think we would win because I think if you do the math,
okay.
You handle the math, please.
I
Casey and I will do everything else.
You got to realize though, you're pushing a cart, and there was one point Reenie was running to a different aisle. I'm like, I'm not running.
Mason will run for us.
I fast walk to catch up to him.
See, but what happens if I turn the corner and wipe out? Then I'm done for the season.
Well,
my grocery days are over.
Oh, that's okay. Do you grocery shop?
No. I don't grocery shop like a mom. I don't walk around with a list and grab stuff. I go in there and I'm like, all right, that sounds good.
This
to
is
eat.
What I'm hungry for type of a thing.
I can see Mason being the grocery shopper that orders all of his online and then he just pulls up in his car and waits for him to come out and put him in his car.
I think they'd deliver it to him, kind of like he does with his food a lot of times. Everybody has to bring him his food, right?
Whatever.
If it's not mom, it's, Abby or whoever else. Yes. The funniest story I ever heard, and we can't repeat things, but, our former assistant news director, Abby, which one did you order through?
DoorDash.
DoorDashed his place one time. Yeah. I don't think she knew it was him until she showed up at his house and was like, oh, come on, Mason.
Well, she's like, the place you ordered from is 5 miles. And I go, I don't want to get out of the house. I'm like, I just got home from, I think it was either state basketball.
Okay.
Or something. I don't remember. It was something that we were gone for a while. I'm like, I don't want to leave the house anymore. And she's like, well, you didn't want to go get your own food? I'm like, no. I don't want to leave the house.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, we have 1 minute. Anybody got anything that they want to get in here?
I haven't been here the whole time, so I don't know what you guys have talked about.
We talked about the Cubs, the White Sox, the baseball this weekend, and stuff at the college level. I won't talk, which I let Mason do the talking on it. I just called out Matt Wilkin and Corey Jeske for some reason. I didn't receive a text message from them this weekend.
It wasn't very pretty this weekend.
Softball, real quick, college softball. You got about 25 seconds.
I like Texas, but that's biased. But I think they're playing good right now, just won the SEC tournament. But Nebraska looks really good.
They do.
I think Nebraska looks really good right now. So those are my two, but you can't count out Oklahoma either.
You can't, no, especially with it being played right there, kind of in their back door.
Yep.
So Oklahoma State going to, I think, give Nebraska a little fits if they end up meeting up with each other in that regional. So absolutely. So that's Sports Rewind.